Title of this message is Occupy Till I Return. All right, Ed. Visual. All right. We all know the parable of the 10 minas, and what, this is from the King James. I don't use King James too often because I don't like the D's and thous, but if you would read along with me, we'll get started. Luke 19:11-27. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said to them, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received a kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him, and to whom he had given money, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, you've given me a pound, I've gained 10. And he said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you have been found faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. Second came, saying, Lord, thy pound gained 5 pounds. And he said to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because you are an austere man. You take up that you lay down not, and reapeth that thou dost not sow. As you can see, I'm stumbling over this. And he said to him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, taking up what I didn't lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore, then, I gave you money you could have put into the bank. That, of course, at my coming, I might have required my own usury. And he said to them that stood by, take from him the pound that I've given to him, that and give it to him who has 10. And they said, Lord, he has 10. For I say to you that until every one of has such be given, and from him has not, even he that has been taken away from him. But those mine enemies which were not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I'll let that soak a little bit. I have been talking the last couple weeks trying to remind us of two simple truths. Who we are and who God is. And the devil uses various tactics to cause us to forget who we are. He uses the daily grind of our lives in such a way that as it goes on and on, we forget that we are royalty. We are supernatural royal beings because we're in Christ. He is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, this parable is not only spoken about being faithful in what he has distributed to us, it also has to deal with our purpose in life. Our purpose in life, believe it or not, is not to amass wealth for the next generation. Our purpose in life is to seed the kingdom of God and bring in the harvest. That is our job. That is our purpose. We know we're going to be mistreated. We know we're going to be laughed at. We know we're going to be ridiculed. We know all this because some of our brothers and sisters throughout the world are suffering unjustly in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in this parable, is telling us how we should be living our lives. And he's telling us that he will return. We are presently living in that time frame of this parable. That when he returns, he will inaugurate his kingdom. And all of us who are his servants, fellow kings and fellow heirs of the kingdom, will welcome him, while all his enemies will be brought before him and slaughtered. The object of this parable is, are we busy about his business or are we busy about our business? I can't answer those questions. I only can answer them for myself. I can't answer them for you. But one thing is certain, at the end of this age, we all will give an account of what he has given to us to use to expand his kingdom, to win those who haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ. We are at a place in our lives that we need to start asking ourselves some real important questions. Because he is returning. He is going to destroy all his enemies. He is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He is all that. You may not believe that because for so long you have been fed a diet of, let's go to church, let's worship God, let's hear a energizing sermon, let's socialize, and then through the week we have a mid-Bible week study going on. That's for babies. I don't consider you babies. I consider you maturing saints of God. And all those things can happen, but I expect more. Our Lord expects more of us. The world expects us. And as I said last week in Romans, okay, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? I can't answer that. But I can ask you some questions, some thought-provoking questions that the Holy Spirit has been asking me. When we hear the good news, do we immediately interpret it based on our own agenda? In other words, when I hear what God is saying to me, do I still do my own thing? Your own agenda. Do I select items that align with my agenda? In other words, do I smorgasbord? I'll take from column A, maybe from column C. Oh, this is good. And fit it into my agenda to a place that really we should be taking all of it together. Or do we write down the notes, what pastor is saying, and we're faithful in writing all these notes down, but we don't intend to apply them to our lives? Only you can answer those things. The only response that I have found is obedience to what is being shared. total obedience. This means it requires our time, our resources, money, jobs, things that we have at home, and of course, the most important, you. It requires you to be a part of it, not apart from it. What is at stake is the world is waiting to see the children of God begin to do business for the kingdom's sake, not for our sake, but for His. As I try to remind you of who you are in Christ, you may not believe your royalty. You may have swallowed hook, line, and sinker the lies that the enemy would tell you. And early on in my discipleship, I would tell people, this is the process that the enemy uses. If he can't keep you from being saved, which is integral, he moves on to the next thing. The next thing is, if you don't know who you are, you don't have your identity in Jesus Christ, he'll move on to the next thing. We should all know who we are in Jesus Christ so that we can share the good news, which is relative to our experience with God. The next step is, if he can't keep you from understanding who you are, he will try to keep you from accessing the power of the kingdom. If he can't do that, game over. Well, I'm here to tell you, game over. We know that from the wisdom of the world and its decadent is crushing this world system. And yet, I see the Church of Jesus Christ still looking for God to do something that He has given us to do. And I told you last week we have two great commissions. The Genesis 1:28 commission of taking dominion in your life, in your families, in your jobs, in your neighborhoods, in this nation. We have dominion. We no longer listen to the naysayers of the world. We are royalty. And as far as I'm concerned, they must bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's everything in this world. Why? Because it says in Scripture, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The question is He your Lord? Streams is not going to be one of your feel-good churches. Irene and I are setting an example of living judgment-free so that people can come as they are, as Jesus received them. We also want to be positive in putting good things into your lives to tell you the truth of what God says we are. I said to an individual some years ago, I said, you know, you got to stop saying what the enemy says and start agreeing with God. Do we agree with God? Is the question. Jesus told us in Matthew 12:30, he says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. That's his words. We extremes take that literally. We want to be on His side, so we're going to gather people, irregardless of what their past is, irregardless of what's going on in their life presently, to show them that on the other side of the cross, you don't have a past in Jesus Christ. You only have a future. Everyone knows where they stand. Even right now, you guys are thinking, wow, this is pretty hard. Pastor's coming down. You haven't seen hard yet. I'm just reiterating some simple facts. I don't want the Lord to show up and it be hard on us. I want Him to come and say, well done, my good and faithful servants. For He's building this church. I'm not. It's His church, not mine. I get the privilege and honor to pray for you guys, to give you some nuggets to help your life, to bring it in alignment with the kingdom, to get your thinking right. That's my job. But we have to understand that where we are is not where we're going to be. And part of that elevation is, you know, with the eldership. They're going to bring these truths in their own way to help you become that person that God created you to be, that the world does not want you to be. I say things like, you're divine. You're supernatural. You're a conqueror. You're a warrior. Now I'm going to tell you, you're invincible. There's no stopping Jesus Christ. Jesus said, He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what He's building here. And all of us, the great thing is, all of us have a part to play in this. And part of that part is understanding our kingship, taking the power and authority that He has given to us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to restore His people to the position that they lost when Adam and Eve gave it over to Satan. That's our job. We have been mandated to rule and take dominion. It starts with you. You have to have a warrior's spirit. I can't give it to you. I can only tell you that you have it. You can believe it or not. Why do you need a warring spirit? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. See, we'll try to put a little levity to this. You need a warring spirit because even though the promises of God are yea and amen, you need to fight to keep them. Every day we get up, we must restore that which we lost. And part of it is in our memory, we tend to forget who we are. And so part of that restoration process for us is we need to learn how to pray for ourselves. We need to learn how to intercede. We need to learn how to move when God says move and implement His plans, His strategies in order to win the loss. Part of that is treasure hunting. And I would encourage you to be a part of that because it's really non-threatening. You go out as a team and you find your treasure. What God said you'll find is going to be true. And you just share and let the love of God overflow them, overcome them, and allow God His Holy Spirit to draw them back to Him. Of course, I'm a little biased. I think they should be here, but, you know, there's plenty of churches all around here. But I consider our church a maturing church. We are no longer going to be dealing with the little kids stuff, as I described earlier. We're going to build people into their calling and then let God take them where He wants to use them. That's the job of the local church, believe it or not. It's not to just pat you on the back and poo-poo your woes and miseries and stuff. You're to take authority over them. You're not to accept what the world says about you, your situation, or your present condition. We're not to do that. I may seem to be very bold because I know who I am. I know what my call is. I know who Jesus is. I know because I've spent time with Jesus. And He talks to me. And we walk together like Enoch. Only He has translated me like Enoch. He'll fulfill that in Revelation. Once we take to heart our kingship in Jesus Christ, and that's knowing who we are, knowing the power and authority we have. What's power? The ability to wage war. What is authority? The right to do it. Jesus has given that to His church. And He says nothing in this world will prevail against it. Nothing. So, as I stated many times before, He has rigged it for our success. That doesn't mean we don't meet some hard times. That doesn't mean that we get defeated at times and we have to take a step back. It doesn't mean that. It means ultimately we are to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ because He destroyed the works of the devil to set us free. And if we're free, Jesus said, if you know the truth, you will be free. Not only knowing the truth, but appropriating the truth into your birthright. There are people out there that God has designed for you and for me to reach. For too long, the church has been sitting by the side, watching the world go to hell in a handbasket. Moral corruption is at a new time low. The wisdom of the world is corrupting all our political groups. And God has made it in such a way that He has said to occupy till He returns. That word occupy is a militaristic word. In accordance to the parable, it means to do business. What was Jesus' business is what you should ask. Why did He come to earth and what was He doing? Well, we have to understand that Jesus came not only to be born the Son of God into the flesh. He atoned for sin. He destroyed the works of evil. He poured Himself into the 12. He planted the seeds of the kingdom of God, of which we are part of the fruit of that. We are to continue to do this process until He comes. You have to realize that the kingdom of God is now. It's here. It's in you. That may be a shock to you, but it's the truth. You see, the King dwells within us. And the King wants us to take authority. He wants us to use His power. And when we begin to take authority and power and show people how regal we are, not how smart we are in our Bible studies and stuff, that doesn't account for anything. At least it doesn't to Jesus. What accounts is our obedience. The world is waiting to see the sons and daughters of God start taking the lead instead of sitting on the sidelines or not doing anything at all, just complaining. The people will see the reality of the kingdom through you. Believe it or not. If you're talking to your friends and you're doing nothing but complaining about your situation, how's the kingdom being glorified? How's the king being presented to a people? They would just say, why do I need to be a Christian? You're just like me. Except you call yourself a Christian and you murmur and complain all the time. That has to stop. That's childish. And as I said last week, what the enemy meant for evil, God turns it around for our good. All the time. Peter tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. You now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Now you are the people of God. And I will continue to, from periods of time to reiterate, to remind us just who we are. But we've obtained mercy for our sins, for our lack of obedience, for our unwillingness to agree with him as to who he says we are. When I come to you, I'm going to ask you, who are you? And I expect a different answer than, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. You need to get this into your spirit. You need to believe that what God says is true. We have some wonderful testimonies of what God has done in people's lives. That's not enough. He wants to see not only your life change, he wants to change their lives that haven't heard yet. And that requires us to embrace who he says we are. In embracing what he says we are, the world will see the kingdom of God through us because we will do what he tells us to do. There have been times in my life, I was down to my last $5, and a person would ask me, do you have any money to lend me? And I'd go, oh man, this is a tough one, Lord. But I capitulate, because I know that he will provide. Gave the $5. That person got saved, he's now planted into a God-fearing church. Through obedience. I'm not anybody special. I just did what he told me to do. Ananias did what he was supposed to do. He went over, he laid hands on Saul. Two scales fell out of his eyes, and the rest is history. You don't have to be special in the world's eyes. you already are a special people in God's eyes. And He expects you to take the power and authority that He's given to you to change your life, to change someone else's life. And that's how it works. We should no longer wonder who we are, why were we born into this world, and what my purpose is. And I'll tell you, I hear from believers, they're asking these questions. And I'm like, man, don't you read your Bible? Yeah, I read my Bible. Don't you believe what God says? Well, you know, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I don't need to. God does. And He's trying to tell you, you gotta move out of your present situation. You have the ability to create your future. It's not written. What are you gonna do with His power and authority? I can remember when I was a young man, learning about the tithe. I mean, everyone struggles with the tithe. But I came to a place that I have nothing. And God says that if I tithe, He's going to pour out blessings. And then He challenges us. Well, I took that challenge. 31 years ago. And God has not left me. He has not failed me. He has blessed me. He has multiplied me. He has found me faithful in a little bit. That doesn't mean there hasn't been a course of testing in my life. That's how He finds out what's in your heart. Of course, He already knows. He's trying to reveal your heart to you to see how wicked and perverted it is. That's what Jeremiah says, our heart is desperately evil, desperately wicked. And think about the times that you may get angry. The truth is, you don't want to do what's being asked of you, and so we take our little temper tantrums. I know, I was there. I did it. I'm not ashamed. I brag on God because He saw through all of that and He was steadfast to build into my life. Someone asked me, what do you want to be known as? You want to be known as pastor? You want to be known as by the gift that God uses you? When I die from this world, all I want is on my tomb, here lies a man of God. I don't get caught up in titles. I don't get caught up in chasing things that God has already put into me. He just wants to get it out of me. And there's things in you that He wants to get out of you to give to somebody else. At present, we are being trained to take dominion. We are no longer going to live a life of defeat. Many of God's kids believe that they're defeated, they're worthless, they're not. That is not what God says about His people. You are blessed. You are heavily blessed. Pressed down, shaken over to overflowing is your blessings. We are exhorted to think about these blessings each and every day, because God's not satisfied in just blessing you for one time. He wants to bless you over and over and over again. But that only happens when you begin to start walking in His truth and agreeing with Him who you are. Again, I want to emphasize the importance of us having a militant spirit. We're not militant to each other. We're militant against the enemy who's been lying to us about who we are. We need to stand firm on the Word of God and make that part of our life. We need to resist what the world says about us. If we succumb to that, we have brothers and sisters that can hold our arms up in those times of weakness. Too long we have excused our behavior because we've been labeled by the world as such. I don't find any of those labels in Jesus Christ. You have been given the power of conquest. James tells us in 4:7, he says, submit to God. Are you submitted to God? Are you ready to take on the adventure of your life? Because he's just standing here waiting for us to say, yeah, we're going to grab all the gusto. We're going to be what God has set us to be. And nothing is going to take that from us. We're no longer going to agree with the world. We're no longer going to say what the world says. I don't have enough. I can't do this. You don't understand. They're all excuses. They're infantile. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And He will do it for you. That's His promise. But you gotta fight against the lies that are trying to steal from you. Jesus doesn't want you to just mouth those words. They have to be real in your heart. Or you will succumb. Might not be today. It'll be a time when you think that everything's going good. And I can remember when we were in the Republican Club. I'm coming in here and Sean asked me, what's going on, Pastor? I said, it's too quiet. It's too quiet. I expect the enemy to do something. And he did. And we pressed through. We weren't going to let the enemy take what God has said and thrown it down into the dirt. We push through. It doesn't matter what's going on in our body, whether it's sickness. You have authority to rebuke that. Take it. That's why we have prayer. Because those individuals already have seen the miracles of God work in their lives. You have the power of your situation to change it. I've been in this job for 5 years. Haven't had a raise. Are you interceding for your boss? Yeah. What are you saying? Oh, you know, change his heart. No. Change your heart. You change your heart, change the way you think, and God will take care of everything else. We need to stop acting like we're defeated. We're not. It wasn't that Jesus came to earth and acquired a victory for us. And everything's supposed to be hunky-dory. We're supposed to not have any problems. What he was doing was illustrating to the church, this is your job to take over this world. As I said last week, Adam and Eve weren't just gardeners. They were kings and queens of this planet under God's headship. That's who you are. That is what Jesus is doing right now. He is restoring everything that was lost from the beginning, including His people. And then when all that is done, it says in Revelation, when all His enemies have been dealt with, He's going to hand the kingdom over to the Father. He's going to hand us over to the Father. We will be His bride. We will be doing what the Father asks of us or commands of us. Again, I said, you're invincible. Put on the armor of God. Put on love. Put on love. What people have done in the past to us, I could tell you what people have done to me personally. And I have felt like dirt. I have felt like giving up. And what God spoke to me 20 years ago is now happening. So I attribute them to be childish. The pain is real, but give it to Jesus. Don't give up. Don't succumb to that. You're more than what you believe you are, because God says that. Finally, John 17 says, Jesus is speaking to the Father, and he says, as you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. You. You have been commissioned to go into all the world, to the highways and byways, telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. Five things I want you to come away from today in this message. One, acknowledge Jesus has called you to be salt and light in this world. That means taking the power and authority and living your life without excuses, unashamed of who you are, because your past has been dealt with. You are now righteous. You're holy. You're powerful. You're invincible. It may not be going well today, but tomorrow is another day, and we still fight. We still fight. Two, Jesus made you a king to rule, not to be ruled. So shake that junk off. You're in a church that will tell you the truth of who you are. You are in a church that will edify you, build you up, exhort you to take the plans that God has for your life and be all that you're supposed to be. Three, you have been created to take dominion. Look at Genesis 1:28. That isn't just your parochial meaning. Dominion means to rule and reign where you are. Five, step out in faith. Remember I was talking about these awesome plans that God has put into your heart, and all you've been doing is agreeing with Satan that you're not going to do it. Agree with God. Do it. Step out in faith. And five, you are destined for greatness. What you are today, you haven't seen what you're going to be later on this week. There are many victories in Jesus Christ that he wants us to have. He tells us, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Do you believe everything that Jesus did? I'm not saying said, but did, because these are works. He demonstrated the kingdom of God. He took power and authority to destroy the works of the enemy. You need to have a healthy mind clearing to this. And the greater works than these, he will do, because I go to the Father. Jesus is ever making intercession for us to get off our duff to do something awesome. You are created for awesome things. I come walking in, I don't know, about a month ago. And God said to Ian, you're awesome. He's what, 10? 11. 11-year-old that God's already telling me to plant into his life. He's awesome. He comes a couple of weeks later, I'm awesome, on a t-shirt. He gets it. He is awesome. You are awesome and fearfully made. Our hope is in the future of Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. Those who don't want Christ to reign over them, what did he tell us? Kick the dust off our feet and move on to the next one. Don't take rejection personally, because they're rejecting him. And when he comes back, it'll be too late. Oh, I was just kidding, Lord. Where are you? Lake of Fire. Anybody ever see a Tootsie Roll be consumed in a fire? I do stupid stuff like that. I throw a Tootsie Roll into a fire just to watch it melting. That's what he's going to do with us. Now. Yeah, that's what he said. Because he's taking all the junk out of us before it consumes us. Take away today about how great you are. Because God says you're great. Not because pastor says you're great, but because God says. Start agreeing with God. Start defeating the enemy in your life. Stop telling me you don't understand, pastor. I understand greatly. I had to fight to where I'm at today. And now I'm trying to teach you how to regain your life and take control from the world, from the evil one. And it all starts here. How you think. Go and make disciples. Make our daddy proud. That's why we exist. One day he's coming. Which side of the fence will you be on? Will you be diligently working to promote the kingdom of God? Or will you be saying, well, I'm not going to do that. You know. He already knows what kingdom you belong to. Because you could say, I believe that all this is true. And we know that even the demons believe and they shudder. That doesn't save them. What saves you is your first act of obedience you've already done. You said, yes, Lord, save me. I need a Savior. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I give you the opportunity to come. We'll pray with you to receive him and begin to walk this path with you today. If there's anyone that has some aches and pains today, God is here to heal you, to deliver you from that. I want to give opportunity for that. But take these five things that I've given to you. Five is the number of grace. Take the grace that God has given to you today and appropriate it in your life. Amen? Amen. Father, I've given them your word. I've told them again to remind them. And we're like sheep. I can't tell you how many times you reminded me. And still remind me. Father, bless them. Whatever they put their hand to, God, bless them. Bless them in their increase. Bless them in their homes. Bless them in the things that they're doing. Show them the areas in which they can be motivated to infiltrate, influence, and occupy. Whether it be in our jobs, whether it be building projects, whether it be in the political arena. We want to be obedient to you, Father. Sovereignly speak to your people. Give them direction. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for your awesome plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go. Have a great day. For us, we're going to go in the swimming pool. That's what I'm doing.